Good evening. We'll open up again with a brief word before I open up the scriptures here. Father God, just thank you again that we do have the ability to come into your presence. You are a holy, almighty God, and yet you desire to hear from us. You desire to hear our supplications, though you already know them. And we pray that as we are about to open up your word and continue on this topic of the prayers of Paul while he was in prison, pray that you would just help us as we just prayed, that our hearts would be receptive to your word. Thank you again, and we praise your name, and we commit this time before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as Brother Renjith has mentioned, we have been in doing a devotion on the series of prayers of the Apostle Paul, and specifically while he was in prison. When Bivin brought up this series of as far as the topic for our Wednesday devotional series, it was a good reminder to me and to all of us, and I believe he did mention at the annual corporation meeting another call to action for the assembly, the importance of prayer, the importance of attending the prayer meetings as we can. And understandably, that not all of us can always make it. I was away in California on a work trip last week. Things like that will happen, and sometimes the distance is hard, but just the desire and the ability when able, as well as, you know, we do have Zoom, which is wonderful. We do have that option for those who cannot be here, but that we as an assembly would come together in prayer. And my heart's been tugged as I've been hearing some of the devotions that have been shared over the last several weeks. And it was also as I have been preparing for this evening's devotion. So we are in Ephesians chapter 3. We've been talking about, we've gone 2 weeks so far in this particular passage of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And I purposely did not listen to last week. I wasn't here, but I purposely did not listen to last week's because I wanted just to have a fresh, you know, when reading the word and studying this and then sharing this, and I look forward to hearing last week's message afterward and praying that the Lord will have brought us all in tune together to what his word says to us. So I was thinking again, as Bivin had brought this up and mentioned the need for us to just really have that heart of desiring to coming to and praying together as an assembly, I thought, yes, it's absolutely true. Like many other things that we've been instructed from the Word in our Christian walk, we as believers, we constantly need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged, instructed on not only the power of prayer, the necessity of prayer in our life and as a corporate body, but also on very specifically how we should be praying. And we all do pray, but at times do we go a little bit deeper and look into the Word of God and find out how he would like us to pray. Beside looking directly at the example of the greatest, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, which we have some amazing examples of beautiful and correct ways to pray that our Lord taught us, God has also blessed us with many other saints in the scriptures and other resources just to learn how is it that he wants us to pray. And Paul is a great example of that through his many prayers that he prayed and modeled in the New Testament. In addition to how many prayers that we could go and search in the New Testament to get an example of how Paul prayed and how he encouraged the saints to pray, some things that kind of blessed me about just studying some of the prayers of Paul are these. One, we see just in this chapter, we're in Ephesians 3. I looked back a few chapters prior to Ephesians 3, a few chapters ahead of Ephesians chapter 3. And in some of the greetings of Paul, just simple identification, he says he identifies with the Savior, the one who we really learned the example of how to pray, as Paul, in his greeting, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He calls himself the prisoner of Christ, also a prisoner for the Lord, and he also refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And so as we're studying the prayers of Paul and looking into those, we could see how very closely he identified himself with our Savior himself, and how we, of course, these are also in the inspired Word of God, but it's just another added blessing to see just how he identified with the Lord Jesus and how we could use that as an example for our own lives. In his prayers, Paul speaks often to God about people, and then he also speaks to people about God. And one of the things that we find in his prayers are, and as the Lord Jesus himself has exampled, praying according to the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? By reading his word and being in tune with him and fellowship with him. So that those are some things that have just been very encouraging in being here studying the prayers of Paul. And then furthermore, we take it to when he's at his most difficult and challenging times, when he's in prison, what is the posture of his prayers? There was a famous quote that I'd like to repeat here. So often our prayers can focus on just asking God for the things that we need or want. The Apostle Paul shows us how to tune our prayers to the heart of God and pray for those things that are important to him. That famous brother who said that was Mr. T.C. Rajan, or I think that's Bivin, Thomas Rajan. Thank you for that. That was an email introduction to this topic, and as he reached out to the brothers who were going to be sharing, I looked at that in the body of your email, and that was touching to think about that. You know, oftentimes it is true. It's what we do. We just come to him, run to him very quickly for the things that we need or want. But how often do we take a breath, stop, take a pause, and ask what is it that he wants from us? So as going through this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, actually, I've took it all the way to the end, 14 through 21. I came up with a general outline for this prayer. There's a section that focuses on recognition of who God is. There's a section that focuses on intercession, praying for others, and that's a big part of this prayer and something that educates us on how we should desire to pray for others. And then there's a section that focuses on the benediction. And what was really beautiful about this, in addition to all those wonderful things, I felt as I was going through this prayer, I was seeing it laced completely with a theme of worship, worshiping God as we come to him in prayer. So first off, I'm going to read the passage, and then I'll see if we could just break down those sections. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God, or to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So as I mentioned, these three general sections of this prayer. First, we have recognition. Paul recognizes at the introduction of this prayer who it is that he's speaking to. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Before we even get to him addressing who it is, he does mention for this reason, and it's important to mention why that is there. In the several verses, I believe from verse 2 to 13 in this passage, he's referring back to this section. It's referred to as a parenthetical statement that he's making, where he's referencing how the mystery of God has been revealed. And he spends some time talking about that. And if you read that, you'll be in awe. You should be in awe every time you read that, recognizing God had a specific plan, and he followed through with that plan. And now he's speaking to the saints who are recalling and recounting that plan and now understanding how all the pieces of the puzzle have come together, that the Jews and the Gentiles would be united through Christ and what Christ has done. And so now he says, for this reason, and then he goes into his prayer. And in his prayer, like I mentioned, he recognizes who it is that he's speaking to. He speaks, or he says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One, he names who he's speaking to, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two, look at his posture and his position. He bows his knees. Who else would you bow your knees to but God himself? Who else requires or calls for our worship than God himself? And so we see here his posture for prayer at the beginning. And when I'm thinking about the posture of his prayer, bowing his knees, whether that was physical, whether that, I don't know what it was like when he was in chains in prison and how he was able to do that, whether it was physical or not, he's saying, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see several examples of different postures that we could have, even physical, when we're praying. In the Old Testament, there are passages, clear passages, that say very specifically, Abraham went before the Lord, and what did he do? He stood before the Lord as he was praying for and interceding for the few righteous people in Sodom. We read about Daniel, who knelt before the Lord three times a day when he was praying. We hear about King David, who the plan of God was revealed as far as what was to happen and what was his son was going to be building the temple, and just the future state after David was no longer going to be there. And David came in and says, David went in and sat before the Lord. And we see in 2 Samuel a beautiful passage of just his gratitude to God. In the New Testament, we see Jesus. What did he do? He knelt and prayed. He knelt before the Lord, and he even fell in anguish before the Lord while he was praying. How about us? What could be said about us on a day-to-day, right? It'd say, Justin closed his eyes, he bowed his head, and he prayed. But is it the physical posture that's what's important here, or is it the spiritual posture? And I would definitely lean on it's the spiritual posture. So how should we pray physically? All the above, right? I was thinking about a funny example. Sitting at the dinner table in our home, you'll have my two kids, Katie and Silas. And sometimes we'll, you know, to not get distracted, it's a good habit, I would say, to close your eyes, bow your head. Not that it's a mandatory thing to do before you pray. I know Scott says it every time when he's up here leading the music. And it does work, very helpful. But when Katie and Silas sometimes will say, okay, let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll do that and we'll have our prayer. And sometimes after we say amen, the first thing that I hear from Silas's mouth is, Dad, Katie wasn't closing her eyes. And then I look at him and I'll say, how did you see that? So I use that silly example just to say, no matter what it is, how our physical posture is, what is the condition and the posture of our heart when we come to the Lord? And those are great opportunities to talk to the kids about and for myself to be reminded, what was my spiritual posture like when I just prayed that prayer? And then in verse 15, it says, from whom? He's bringing reverence to God by recognizing who he is. We see that example demonstrated beautifully in the Lord's Prayer. How does he address God? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This part of the passage reminds me that every breath that we take is from him. He is the Almighty God. The one who we come to is this glorious, almighty creator of ours. Let's not minimize that when we address him. And it is important because we also have such a beautiful passage that the Almighty God, we also know, I think it's in Galatians where we read that we call him Daddy, right? He's God, our Heavenly Father, but he's also Abba, Father, one who we call Daddy. He's our friend, but a lot of times what happens, we can kind of lower the significance of his holiness and his power, and it's important to be reminded of that. Sometimes we get a little bit too friendly and forget the reverence, and we don't ever want to do that. So in this section, the question that I ask myself is when I pray, and then when we pray, are we showing the respect, the reverence, and the recognition that is due unto his name and the one who we come to? And also I mentioned how the passage is laced with worship, thoughts of worship in this prayer. I definitely see that worship when he references who God is and recognizes and then comes to him. Verses 16 through 19, let me read those again. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So in this section, we see the intercession and the desire of Paul to share with us and for him to actually pray, not just for himself, not for himself, but for others. So when we pray, how do we pray? First of all, even when it's for ourselves, how do we pray? You'll see some of the deeper things to pray for. But more importantly, in this model of prayer, how and do we pray for others before ourselves at times? It's easy to pray for ourselves because we know what we need. We know what our struggles are. We know what our challenges are. And a lot of times we're selfish, right? So it's easy to think about ourselves first. But how about thinking about others? Can we walk away today and think deeper about how much we yearn for things of God for our brothers and sisters, for a deeper understanding, for our loved ones, for those around us? When we do pray, what do we pray for? Do we pray for the surface level things? Do we pray for symptoms? Maybe somebody's struggling with an addiction. Maybe somebody's struggling with any various issue in their life. Oftentimes, there's symptoms, and are we praying and spending so much time spent on that, or are we praying more for the deeper things that can that really need to be addressed, which is the heart? So the question that I asked there is, do we prioritize our prayer matters? In verse 16, it says that he would grant you to be strengthened with might. Again, going back to worship, we're recognizing again in this prayer, Paul is, that he is the one who would be able to grant you. Who else can do that? The strength that's needed for what he's about to ask for. God is the only one capable. He has all the riches. He has all the strength, all the might. And the prayer specifically is that God would grant for the inner man. Again, going back to the position of the heart and not just the physical. Because God focuses on the heart. We all know, for those of us who are here, sitting here as believers, we know that we came from the old nature, and now we have the new nature, but guess what? The old nature hasn't completely gone away, and so we still struggle with that. We read in Galatians how the flesh and the spirit are at odds with one another and battle each other. And that's a daily struggle that us believers will have. So recognizing that, do we pray for our fellow brothers and sisters, for their inner man to be strengthened? In verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in our hearts and that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Praying that we would be strengthened, that our inner man would be strengthened. And then he goes into the subject of Christ dwelling within our hearts. And so the question is, if Christ is dwelling in our hearts, what type of condition do we want our hearts to be in? What type of condition do we want our inner man to be when we know that Christ is occupying a space there? The Spirit of God is occupying a space in our hearts. As gracious as that is, the moment we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that's what changed in our lives. But what type of living situation are we giving him in our life? And so he says that Christ may dwell in our hearts, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would know the love of God. The specific verse says, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. What a beautiful prayer to say that I'm praying for my brother and my sister, I'm praying for myself to know the unknowable, to comprehend the incomprehensible. Sometimes we just think, and it doesn't make sense when you look at it, then you realize it makes sense in God's perfect plan. And then finally, in verse 19, that you will be filled with the fullness of God. Again, the aspect of worship here to me is when we recognize who it is we're praying for these specific things, that God would enable us to know what is unknowable, that we, the same people who I just referenced that have two natures, including the old one that we're trying to get rid of, and one day that will be gone, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. How merciful and how gracious a God who would even allow us to think like that, that we could have that as a desire of our hearts and work towards that. So the questions I ask in this section are, what are the desires of our heart? Do we desire strength for the inner man? Do we have a desire to provide a comfortable dwelling place for the Lord Jesus in our hearts? Do we pray that we want our brethren to know God's love deeper, so that it would draw them closer to him and to be filled with God's fullness? We have a limited time while we're here. What is our testimony like? Do other people experience that fullness of God in us? And then finally, coming to the end of this prayer, we read the benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So this final section of the prayer is the benediction. And again, how could we have benediction without it also being attributed as a way to worship God? There's an outburst of praise to God by the Apostle Paul. Again, recognizing who he is and ascribing the due glory, the eternal glory, to the one who is worthy. And that's how he closes his prayer. So when we close our prayers, do we have a heart of praise, worship, and adoration? Do our lives reflect that? Thessalonians 5:16-17 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. And so in this prayer, in the short time that we had, I hope that was an encouragement to be able to see one of the prayers that we could again use as a model for ours from the Apostle Paul. and to learn from, and to be able to be reminded and encouraged to have a desire to pray for our brothers, to intercede for them and our sisters. And being reminded again that our very prayers are a significant form of worship to God. May we continue to recognize him for who he is, to intercede on behalf of one another out of love, and to have constant praise and benediction in our hearts and flowing from our lips to our great God. Our Father God, just want to say thank you. Thank you again that you allow us to come before your presence. You are the Almighty God. You are holy. And you give us this privilege to come before your presence only because of your abundant mercy and grace. Thank you for this prayer of Paul that we just were able to read and be encouraged by. I was thinking about a model prayer to recognize who you are, to have a deeper desire to pray for one another, and for the most important things, prioritizing our heart's desires, and that we would just ceaselessly praise your name. We look forward to the day that we will be in your presence. We will be away from sin entirely. We won't have an old nature anymore. And we will be in your presence, thanking you, worshiping you, remembering what you've done for us throughout eternity. Thank you so much for your love for us, and we are coming to you now to bring our petitions to you. We do pray for each and every one here at the assembly, and we pray for their inner strength. We pray for their peace. We pray for each and every one of us to draw closer to you. All these things we just discussed. And we thank you that we could come to you with all the other matters as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.